JC Corcoran Podcast.
Hi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll record you. This is for St. Louis radio station. What's your name, sir?
John Cross.
How long have you been playing out here?
Oh, 4 years.
St. Louis, huh?
Yeah. Hey, it gets pretty cold out here. How long can you still play?
I only come on warm days, you know. But yeah. You know what? It's not too bad. I haven't played for 30 years, and I started about 4 years ago.
What made you start playing again?
I was broke.
What kind of business were you at?
I've been into a lot of 10 things, art, photo, sign, and drafting. And I had my own sign shop. It wasn't my fault, but somebody put a bomb in the mail and all that, with their fingerprints and handwriting on it.
Wait a minute. Somebody what?
Put a bomb in the mail.
Somebody put a bomb in the mail?
Yeah, somebody set me up. I was in federal prison for 2 years and 4 months for a crime I never committed.
Wow, they should do a movie about you.
Oh, yeah. The guy, they just picked up the guy now after 11 years. They've been holding him for 9 months, but they're not on that charge. There's a lot of things going on in the country now. You can't go anywhere. But what, in the last 2 or 3 months, there's 5 crimes, major crimes, right around me in a motel in the USA. And it's about time we would take a double take on some of that.
So I guess you're kind of a good luck charm.
Huh? I try to stay straight. I, you know, I try to discipline myself and not, you know, I'll go that route. Here's a point, too, I wrote down in my notes this morning, is this. Anyone who has accomplished or achieved anything in their life over a long period of time has not been tempted to break any laws, most certainly by psychoanalysis, is going to be the least likely to break any laws at all.
Okay, well, we got to go.
Consistently, yeah. Okay, I played on every radio station, and I played every hotel here, and every country club, and all over the United States, all the way from Los Angeles, from Duluth, all of the whole West Coast, and I played with musicians with Benny Goodman, Stan Kenton, Lawrence Welk, Woody Herman, Count Basie, and Duke Ellington, 2,200 musicians and 100 combos and orchestras, and I played saxophone, clarinet, flute, oboe, trumpet, and trombone.
We got to go.
And I'm in the history of jazz, incidentally. I played with Jim McNeely, who was with Stan Getz, and he's from New Orleans. I played with a bass man who just came up, Jack Teagarden's Bad Band, in St. Louis way back in 1950. His father owned the biggest dry cleaning agency in St. Louis downtown. I can talk to anybody anywhere in the United States, and I know a friend or a relative or acquaintance out there out of 50 million people. That's how many people I worked for the largest and oldest engineering firm in the state of Minnesota, off the original blueprints of the number one architect in the world who designed Radio City in New York, and I suggested a smoke alarm that's all over the United States, and I can prove it in black and white. I lettered 3 of the fastest super modified racing cars in the state of Minnesota, one and broke a national record that stood for 11 years. It was the most photographed car in Tampa, Florida, and I told you, I got 30 years of airbrush. I do murals. And then my associates, my buddy over in Hudson, Wisconsin, his paintings are in the Hall of Fame of Grimes, a baseball player from New Richmond. And the other painting of John F. Kennedy is in the Jacqueline Kennedy Memorial Gallery in Boston. And then I played with the first trumpet player with Boston Symphony, who was with Benny Goodman and Stan Kenton's Johnny Carroll. And it goes on and on. I played behind Anita O'Day, and the girl took Doris Day's place in Les Brown's band. And there's people in Los Angeles right now, after 30 years, I have worked with in the music business. They walk right along here and are complete strangers, and I know somebody they know in Los Angeles in the music business.
You know what's funny? Usually people only throw money in your case when you're playing. They're throwing it in now for when you're talking.
Well, you're going to make a lot of money with this tape, you know.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, April 5th, 2022. 226 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How you doing, kids? It's JC here at jcontheline.com. Well, damn good game last night. You know, I was thinking about this. Two of the most boring events for me. I don't really like basketball that much. And also, the younger the player, the more difficult it is for me to take the sport seriously. And, you know, you can guys out there are 19, 20 years old. I'm sorry, that doesn't excite me. They're just like, I'm watching children. I can go to the park and watch kids play in the park. Now, I'm exaggerating here for the purpose of emphasis and also of being an asshole. But, yeah, I'm not crazy about basketball, but I watch a game like last night, the national championship, because I feel like I got to. You got to sort of know what's going on. And there's a lot of pageantry and event status and the whole thing. You're like, okay, there's nothing else on. Anyhow, it's Monday night. Well, it turned out to be an absolutely amazing game last night. Kansas pulled off the biggest comeback in national championship history, beating North Carolina 72-69. The thing went right down to the last 4 seconds of the game, and you just were thinking to yourself, when the guy steps out of bounds, you're like, they are going to get the ball back. They are going to get it. I didn't think they set up their final shot very well, and so North Carolina ends up losing 72-69. Pretty damn good game. And normally I'd be saying, well, you know, it was a blowout, 15, 16 points. It wasn't even very exciting. And the same was the case the other day with the Academy Awards. You know, that show's been getting duller and duller, if that's even a word. And we're coming off these two big award shows, the Oscars and the Grammys. Those shows just have not been compelling to watch the last couple of decades. It was fantastic the other night, even though the ratings really didn't support it. Let's see here. Ratings for Sunday's Grammys, only slightly better than last year's record low numbers. So what does that really mean? It means that people were not expecting the show to be good, and so they didn't bother tuning in. So in other words, it doesn't matter that the show was good, and there were wonderful moments in that show. The obituary reel, where you had those four people singing those Sondheim songs all together in unison, was one of the most amazing moments I've ever seen on national television. It was the most beautiful thing ever. But if you're not watching, you can't be counted. So it could have been, in theory, the best Grammy show in the history of television, and it wouldn't have mattered, because if people didn't feel compelled to tune in, then you know, you don't get the ratings. It's hard to explain. Speaking of music, that opening segment right there, that is all the way back from 1987. Wow. 1987. I just shocked myself hearing that. We were in Minneapolis for the World Series between the Cardinals and the Minnesota Twins, and it was cold out, and we went out on Sunday morning. This was hours before the game, I believe. Yeah, those games were played in prime time. That's right. So, you know, we had the entire day. So we went out, and for decades, I just assumed that that guy was crazy. And then the internet came along, and one day somebody sent me something. They looked up Don Cross, and sure enough, everything he said in terms of who he played with and that part of his story was true. Now, I still think he was out of his mind with all that stuff about putting the bomb in the mail and everything like that. But in terms of his claims, which I always thought were just, you know, the ramblings of a delusional semi-homeless person in Minnesota, it turns out the guy was right all along. He wasn't making it up. You get a surprise like that every once in a while. Something I've been beating on this drum for years and years and years. And of course, we're only 2 days away from the J.C. Corcoran home opener extravaganza Thursday right here, as the Cardinals get ready to open the season against the lowly Pittsburgh Pirates. I've been beating on this drum for years. You're watching a baseball game. There's a stoppage of play. Umpires all huddled together. The players are standing around. And then you see both managers come out. They're briefed as to what, you know, something has happened. And then they just start the game back up. And you're like, well, what the fuck was that? What just happened? Why won't they tell us? Sometimes an inning or two later, it'll sort of filter its way up to the broadcast booth, and then they will inform us what had just happened. But a lot of times, you never find out until maybe after the game or the next day or something like that. And that stinks. In all other major sports, you have the ability for the officiating team to not only inform people watching on TV, but everybody there at the stadium, or, you know, whatever sort of sport we're talking about, except for Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball doesn't do it. All their sports do it. Well, that's going to change this year. Even though people started chirping at this, going, oh, they're trying to speed up the games, and now they're going to do that. No, this is something that has been sorely needed. And so Major League Baseball umpires are now going to have microphones And just like NFL officials, they will announce to us what the hell just happened. Why did we just stop playing baseball for 15 minutes? That's a good thing. Something else I've been harping on for years, the fact that pretty much every media outlet, newspaper, radio, TV, and we're talking sports here. So in terms of radio, we're talking about the sports stations, and for television and newspaper, we're talking about the sports section and the sports segment on the TV news. Every one of them has one guy or one woman, usually it's a guy, that they claim is their insider. Our sports insider. This guy has a direct pipeline to the inner workings of the sports machine in St. Louis. This guy knows everything. You'll find out first right here because our insider is on top of the story. And then suddenly there's a major development in sports in St. Louis, and everybody finds out about it at exactly the same time. So much for your sports insider. And there's never been a better example of what I'm talking about than yesterday, when out of the blue, there weren't even any rumors about Albert and Didi Pujols, and all of a sudden, bang, press release. Everybody gets it at the same time, including the insiders. So I just want to congratulate all those experts. People knew that something was up last week when Didi Pujols was having brain surgery and Albert was playing a baseball game in Florida. And of course, when Albert left us for 10 years and said, it's not about the money, why do I have this funny feeling that for Didi Pujols, it is going to be exactly about the money? Can you imagine that divorce settlement? Holy Jesus. Five kids, one of them special needs, and Albert with like probably $500 million in the bank. Here is something I don't get. And I'm serious when I say I don't get it. It's not rhetorical. I don't understand this. So if you can figure this out, you tell me. So over the weekend, you know, you had this harmonic convergence of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people returning to their home cities after having been in Florida, Southern Texas, Hilton Head, places like that, but primarily Florida. And everybody's trying to go home at exactly the same time. Unfortunately, state of Florida and the whole Southeast got really socked with bad weather, really, really bad weather at that exact time that people were trying to go home over the weekend. And I mentioned this yesterday. Let me just turn this page back for a minute here. Yeah, here we go. Something like 3,600 flights canceled on Sunday. It said here, like American, 600 flights, Delta, 270 flights, JetBlue, 500 plus. Yesterday, things started to get back to normal a little bit. In fact, we had a family friend who was flying out of Florida back to St. Louis, and he just went to the airport, got on a Southwest Airlines plane, and flew home without incident. And then the numbers for yesterday came out, and they said, yeah, Southwest had to cancel only about 10% of their flights, whereas the other airlines had to cancel lots and lots of their flights, hundreds in some cases. And I'm thinking to myself, well, the weather was bad for all of the airlines, so how was it that Southwest was able to cancel dramatically fewer flights than the other airlines? They were all facing the same challenges in terms of bad weather and, you know, sold out flights. So how did Southwest get away with that? How were they able to do that? I don't know. Which leads us to yet another big story that hit the airwaves yesterday about the latest climate change report. And they're basically saying we got 2 or 3 years. And if we don't make dramatic changes in greenhouse gases and carbon emissions and all that sort of stuff that goes into the air and contributes to the problems that we are having, well, if we don't do something in the next literally 2 or 3 years, it may be irreversible or a lot more difficult, exponentially more difficult, to be able to turn this around. You think COVID was problematic? Wait until the wheat fields of the Midwest and the corn fields all over the world just burn up and dry up and are no good for growing anymore. So wait till you aren't able to eat. And there's a lot of people who still believe that segment of our leadership that is used the term hoax. when referring to climate change. And there's a lot of people who believe that this is all made up. Well, it's like I said about a week ago, Americans seem to have lost their ability to discriminate. You know, the word discrimination has an ugly connotation to it because you think of discrimination in terms of white people being mean to people of a different color skin. But discrimination actually is a good thing. Discriminate means to be able to tell the difference between something that is real and something that's fake, something that is authentic, something that is not authentic. You look at something and you go, that's a bunch of bullshit right there. But what's happened in this country, maybe all over the world, I don't know, but certainly here, people are believing all of the nonsense and rejecting all of the science. It's like they're doing the exact opposite of what is right. Welcome to the world in 2022. Everything that is old is new again. Of course, the erstwhile former half-governor of the state of Alaska, who was chosen by the Republicans to be John McCain's running mate a couple of presidential elections ago, and who has the ideal marriage with, oops, sorry, let's update that story. That's right, she got divorced. She has, though, the ideal, forget about that. Her family is highlighted, I should say, by Bristol Palin, who was sort of like a bus there for a couple of years because everybody was paying to get on. Good morning, everybody. Ms. Palin, who is known for, what's the political term for this? I know there's a political, I took political science in college. So, oh, here it is. Yeah. Dingbat. She's a dingbat.
One of Barack Obama's earliest supporters is Bill Ayers.
A domestic terrorist.
Domestic terrorist.
The known domestic terrorist.
Unrepentant domestic terrorist.
Domestic terrorist.
Domestic terrorist.
Part of a group that, quote, launched a campaign of bombings.
Campaign of bombings.
That would target the Pentagon.
In our U.S. Capitol.
Our United States Capitol. Obama held one of his first meetings of his political career in Bill Ayers' home.
In the guy's living room?
In the living room of a domestic terrorist?
Of a domestic terrorist?
Of a domestic terrorist? Our opponent is someone who sees America as imperfect enough to pal around with terrorists.
Domestic terrorists.
Domestic terrorists who targeted their own country.
Targeted his own country.
Targeted his own country.
She doesn't know anything. Well, the other day she announced she's running for Congress, the state of Alaska, and has already received the endorsement of the Cheeto Bandito himself, Donald J. Trump. And for that, we dig into the archives for the song that when I was working with Trish Gazelle, all she had to hear was the first couple of notes of this song. And if she was in a bad mood, she immediately started laughing. And this was her favorite thing of mine in the archives. The Sarah Palin song, let's enjoy.
She's a cool blast from Alaska, ingrained with common sense. She's not a Harvard lawyer, but she knew what the founders meant. A cold blast from the north that freezes Congress in their tracks. With God and the Tea Party, she's gonna take it back. Sarah Palin, she won't listen to their bunk. Sarah Palin's coming south to hunt some skunk. Sarah Palin, she'll throw them all in jail. And when she gets to Washington, it'll be cold as hell. Sarah has the wisdom to walk through an open door. She is stomping out the wretches where the evil minds are stored. She will scrub the floor and sweep the riffraff into cracks. With God and the Tea Party, she's gonna take it back. Sarah's marching on.
I like to dedicate this to the Tea Party and all the patriots.
She's a cold blast from Alaska, ingrained with common sense. She's not a
Harvard lawyer, but she knew what the founders meant. A cold blast from the north that freezes Congress in their tracks. With God and the Tea Party, she's gonna take it back.
Sarah Palin, she won't listen to their bunk. Sarah Palin's coming south to hunt some skunk. Sarah Palin, she'll throw them all in jail. And when she gets to Washington, it'll be cold as hell.
To walk through an open door, she is stomping out the wretches where the evil minds are stored. She will scrub the floors and sweep the riffraff into cracks. With God and the Tea Party, she's gonna take it back.
Sarah's marching on.
I'd like to dedicate this to the Tea Party and all the patriots.
That's right. I'd like to dedicate this to all of them. And ain't there some bitchin' echo I done put on here?
Moving on. My sister is 5 years older than me and has always been a major influence in my life. She does not connect to social media. She's not on Facebook, not on Instagram, not on nothing. And she insists that I should do the same because it will improve the quality of my life. And I've tried to explain to her that she may be completely accurate in that kind of prognostication, but I sort of need it for this job. Gotta stay connected to the peoples. Well, Selena Gomez hasn't been on the internet in 4.5 years, and she says, and this is a quote, "It has changed my life completely. I'm happier. I'm more present. I connect more with people. It makes me feel normal," end quote. She's probably right, but a lot of us just can't afford to get off social media. The creator of Squid Game is working on a movie that he says will be even more violent. The working title at the moment is Killing Old People Club. There's no word on the plot. Oh, I think we understand the plot. Harrison Ford just booked his first regular role in a TV series ever. He'll star with Jason Segel in something called Shrinking. It's a show about therapists. It'll air on Apple TV. He did some TV guest appearances at the beginning of his career in the 60s and 70s. He was on Gunsmoke and Mod Squad, even one episode of Love American Style. All right, late night tonight, out come the Sweater Puppies. Amanda Seyfried on with Jimmy Fallon. Idris Elba, former sexiest man in the world, is on with Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got Oscar Isaac, James Corden, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Chris Pine, and Matthew Broderick and Jon Apatow show up with Seth Meyers. It's getting real, folks. Kim Kardashian met Pete Davidson's grandparents. Britney Spears has confirmed she's writing a book. I would suggest maybe reading a book, but that's me. New report on Netflix says half of its users are watching anime. All right, birthdays today. The most appealing woman in film right now, Lily James. She starred in the live-action Cinderella. She was in Downton Abbey, Pride and Prejudice, and Zombies. She was also the girlfriend in the movie Yesterday, where nobody remembers the Beatles. And right now on Hulu, doing that, well, I guess it was a month or so ago, the Pam and Tommy miniseries. Lily James is 33 today, and like I said, one of the most appealing women just out there right now. Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us, 46. Paula Cole, remember her? I don't want to wait to shave my armpits today. Saw her in concert. It was a River of Toys show at Westport. That was like 20 years ago. God, why did I bring that up? Paula Cole, 54 today. Max Gale. Barney Miller, Detective Wojciechowicz, but also in the movie 42 about Jackie Robinson, he played the manager towards the end of the movie. He's 79 today. 57 years ago today, 1965, Julie Andrews wins Best Actress for Mary Poppins. And I remember this because I know I've told this story before. After seeing Mary Poppins, I was upstairs in the bedroom with my sister, and she witnessed me opening the second floor window and beginning to crawl out, and I had an umbrella in my hand. And she stopped me, and she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, doing that Mary Poppins thing. She kept me from being in a wheelchair the rest of my life when she grabbed me and said, "That's movie magic, you idiot." Fox Broadcasting went on the air on this day 35 years ago today, 1987. I remember it vividly. I'm not talking about the Fox News Channel. I'm talking about the Fox Network. Married with Children, Tracy Ullman Show. That, of course, spawned The Simpsons. All of that 35 years ago. Kurt Cobain checked out on this date in 1994. And 17 years ago today, in 2005, Peter Jennings told viewers of ABC News he had lung cancer. It was his final broadcast as anchor. He died 4 months later. On this date in 1995, working at the river and cascading in and looking like $1 million in small, unmarked bills, Maureen McCormick, Marsha from the Brady Bunch. She was speaking at some sort of women's symposium at Washington University, stopped by and was wearing these bib overalls with a white top underneath. And did I mention she looked fantastic? Which is why it's depressing to have seen her on one of those fat shows, one of those celebrity fat shows where you're supposed to lose weight. She just looked terrible. She, along with that gorgeous chick from Weird Science, what the hell is her name? She was married to Steven Seagal. Can't think of it right now. And Yasmine Bleeth from Baywatch. These are three women who had the most astonishing good looks for their time. Off the scale beauty. And I don't know how to describe what happened, but it wasn't good. They should be arrested and put in jail. It's just so sad to watch somebody who is given a head start like that squander it. I don't know what the women who listen to the podcast are thinking right now. It's like, yep, spoken like a male. But it was Martin Mull, comedian Martin Mull, after all, who coined the phrase, "It's just terribly unfair that as men begin to age, they start to look like, you know, Sean Connery. But as women begin to age, they start to look like Sean Connery." Yell at him, not me. I'm just repeating what he said. Don't go for the rolling pin. Come chasing me around the house. Yesterday, a woman in Oregon went on trial for allegedly murdering her husband 4 years ago. And in 2011, she wrote an essay called "How to Murder Your Husband." The judge has ruled that can't be brought up in court. If I kill somebody and I've done my time and it's 30 years later and I'm on trial for murder again, I think they would bring that up in court, don't you? Never mind. A woman in Ohio bit a pit bull on the ear last week to save her own dog during an attack. She said she had no choice, but she and her dog were injured. They were both going to be okay. The pit bull owner has been arrested. Like they say, it's not news when dog bites man. It is news when man bites dog. And it's even bigger news when woman bites dog, especially when it's a pit bull. A man in Texas arrested after stealing a forklift and taking it on a joyride, which culminated in an 18-mile-per-hour police chase. I lived in Texas for a very, very, very long year and a half, and you see some goofy things, although I always feel cheated about that time in Texas. The whole time I was there, I never saw one chainsaw massacre. Texas high school, with fewer than 1,200 students building a new football stadium, estimated cost $35 million. And comedian Gerard Carmichael has come out as gay. Hey, nice try, man, but not as newsworthy as last week when Will Smith came out as a douchebag. And with that, we say that's it for the Tuesday, April 5th, 2022 edition of the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jcontheline.com. 226 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We only do politics here when it's absolutely unavoidable. Help keep us in the top 10 podcasts of all podcasts in the country by spreading the word. We appreciate it. We're here every weekday morning at about 7 o'clock Monday through Friday. absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. Everything is archived right here on the website. You may email me, jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Don't forget our big home opener extravaganza coming up on Thursday with some new material as part of the presentation. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.